We don't have time to mess around anymore. You need, a lot of people don't know, you can have your seats. A lot of people don't know, or they don't feel a fulfillment in their life, like we said last week, because they don't have that relationship with the Holy Spirit. But the second thing is that they don't know, is they don't know their full purpose and their full reason why they are here on earth. A lot of people question. And one of the things that people do is, just one of the things, is they think to themselves, okay, but am I an apostle? Am I a prophet? Or am I a pastor or a teacher or evangelist? And they don't know where they fit in. But the thing is that's grace gifts that God has given, not to everybody. Not everybody is called to full-time ministry. The fivefold gifting is for the full-time ministry. Not everybody is called that. And not everybody has a passion or a desire for that. But then they think to themselves, okay, but what is my purpose? Why am I here? I enjoy business, or I enjoy working with children, or I enjoy, you know, this or that, or sports, whatever it may be. You enjoy those things, but you feel, but I'm not actually doing something for God. Or you feel that you're not in the complete purpose of what God has for you. The reason why people are at that place is because they don't realize as well, even though we've been taught our whole lives on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they don't realize that there were gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit. Once you are a born-again believer, baptized with the Holy Spirit, and not just the evidence of speaking in other tongues, but you also have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you need to know that the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. A lot of people think that, you know, there's only 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And as a lot of you have already been taught, there's much more than 9 gifts that the Holy Spirit gives you, that He can give you. But a lot of people, when you realize you don't have to be in fivefold ministry, and you start embracing and understanding the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the gift or gifts that He's given you, you are able to feel more fulfilled, and you feel, okay, but I'm not a pastor. God never called me to be a pastor. I don't have a passion to be a pastor. I like people, or I don't like people, but I don't have a passion to be a pastor, or I don't feel like I'm able to be an evangelist. Even though it is all of our responsibility to go out and to reach the lost, to bring in people into Christ. An evangelist is obviously someone who's a little bit more in tune with that, who can just step out on a platform and thousands of people will be saved, or hundreds of people. Even they just have the ability to talk. Even though it's all of our responsibility, you might not feel, but that's not me. But then you still wonder, why am I here? But you don't know that one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, for example, is helps. Some people know that, some people don't. And that person just has the ability to help in every situation. They are always available. They are always willing to help. They desire to help. They feed off of it. They get energy off of helping. But they'll think that is not important, or it's not something that's significant, yet you are making it able for all the other ministries to take place. So the people who have that gift and help, let's say, here on a Sunday, they are causing and making sure that myself or prophet or any of the other pastors are able to do what God has given us, what we've been able to do, because I don't have the ability, it's not my function now, it used to be, not my function now to make sure that the chairs are straight, that the lights are working, that the cameras are working. It's not my responsibility now, but there's people who make sure, and that is a gift that the Holy Spirit has given us. So a lot of us has been taught that we only have the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I think I asked a few people today, because I had to memorize 18, and I have, but I'm not going to do it in the order that I memorized them, just because I want to give it to you just in a bit of a teaching. But I asked people today, tell me the 18 gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's obviously more, because they can be broken down, but just according to what we saw is 18 gifts. They were like, first of all, they were shocked. They were like, okay, but there's 18. I thought there's 9. Then I'm like, okay, well, tell me the 9. And they can't even mention the 9. which is fine because I'm the kind of person, if you ask me something under pressure, I'm not going to be able to do it. Even if I know the stuff, I was like that in school as well. I would know the work, I get there and I stress out, so I wouldn't know the stuff. So, but my point is just is that we don't know these things, and the lack of knowledge is what causes us to feel we're not fulfilling everything that God has for us. Or we're feeling insignificant. We're feeling like we're not good enough. Or even though I can say to you that a person who's been given the gift of helps, they'll still feel insignificant because they feel they're not as important as, let's say, a prophet. But without you, it's impossible for the prophet to do what he has to do, or for the pastor to do what he has to do. So what my goal and my mission for today is to change the mindsets of people to realize that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. It doesn't matter where you're going. Because if you are a born-again believer and you've really sold out for Christ, I said it, there's no more times for playing around. You need to say, okay, and today you can go and I'm going to mention all 18, but I'm going to focus on the 10 of them. 9 and then 10. But the other ones are pretty self-explanatory. But I want you to go really and ask the Holy Spirit. For those of you who were here last Sunday night, I believe that this week was one of your greatest weeks. If you really went and you spent time with the Holy Spirit and you drawed close to Him and you allowed Him to draw close to you, where you invited Him to come and talk with you. If you didn't, then make sure that this week you do. If you didn't hear the message or watch the message online, I want to encourage you to go and listen to it. I personally have received hundreds of testimonies of people just saying the encounter that they had with the Holy Spirit. And I said to God, God, there's nothing that I can do. I said, Holy Spirit, I'm just a vessel. You are the one to touch them. Let them experience you like we've experienced you so that their lives can be forever changed. Now, that was the first step. The next step is understanding and knowing what is the gifts that He gives you. And even though we've all grown up, most of us who's grown up in church, we know the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some of us might even know all 18 because I might bring it back to your memory. But focus on these things. Go back and look at them and think, okay, and ask the Holy Spirit, which one is mine? But you'll also know you. I don't want to say you don't have to talk to Him because you can still talk to Him. Please talk to Him as much as what you can. But ask Him or see to yourself, but this is me. But this is in my life. And then once you know, take a note or something so that you can remind yourself. And then you know, okay, but I can do this. And then you start feeling a bit of worth. Not worth because I told you you're worthy. Worthy because you know, but God is using me in this. Amen? Amen. I hope you guys are excited. Tonight is a night of impartation and activation. For those who feel that they haven't been activated in those gifts yet, tonight is your night. It is a sign of this ministry and activation. Pastor Stefan, Pastor Kevin, they gave you their testimonies, and there's hundreds of other people that are activated through the ministry. That is the gift and the ability that God has given myself and Prophet. Amen. So I want to ask you to ask yourself the question, what is in me? Who is in me? What do I carry to successfully fulfill the purpose and the call that God has given me? Do you know what spiritual gifts you carry? If you are here and you know the spiritual gifts that you carry, I want you to just make a note for yourself. And then see as I'm going and add some more. I'm a person who likes notes because I like to give information. Because I learn through information, so I know you will as well. Then another thing is do you understand the spiritual gifts that you, how they operate and how they work? For you to essentially and work in the gifts of God and be able to work in them and to operate in them, you need to understand fully what the gifts are. And I know a lot of us know, but I always say this, we are reminded. If we know something, we can always be reminded. You know, it's something where you can just be reminded, but yes, I remember that, I know that, and you reminded your spirit, amen? Many people do not have a proper understanding of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and that's why they're lacking certain things in their life. Why, for example, they might lack faith, or they might have insecurities, or they might not feel good enough. They might not feel that they are significant enough to be able to step out or to be used by God. But it's all because they don't understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Like I said, there's 18 and not 9. That's one of the examples of how people don't understand it, because they don't even know all of them. So I want us to go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, quickly, and we're going to read it together. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Meaning, I don't want you to not have understanding, to not have knowledge, to not know what you're doing. Many people that are born again and they're filled with the Holy Spirit, but they're ignorant to the dynamics and the inner workings of the gift of the Holy Spirit. To master the gift of the Holy Spirit requires a spiritual understanding. Amen. Okay, so how do we define the gifts? We know that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're not a natural thing. It is a supernatural thing. So it's a supernatural gift. It's not a natural gift. It's not something where I can say to Lorena, I give you the gift of wisdom. It is a gift that comes from the Holy Spirit, which is supernatural. Amen? I'm just going to give you a few points. Take it down, learn from this so that you can go out, and we're going to have activation and impartation now so that you can step out with boldness and you can know, but this is what I'm to do. Amen? In other words, the Holy Spirit doesn't come from you. It comes from heaven. You are just the chosen vessel that God has decided to use. Every single person that is sitting here, that is watching us online, that is born again, even if you are not born again, even if you do not have Jesus Christ in your heart, you are still here for a purpose. You are still here for a reason. God made no mistakes. Nobody that is born was a mistake. Nobody that was born insignificant, not worthy, not able. I always say this, every situation that you faced, every situation that you're going to face, God uses that, and He allowed you to go through that so that you can turn it around for your testimony. We've all faced battles. We've all faced disappointment. We've all faced rejection and pain and hurt. Turn it around and allow God to use that's inside of you to minister to others. Amen? What is the purpose of the gifts? Let's go to verse number 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The gifts of the Spirit is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit and is different for every individual. So you have to discover it for yourself. My manifestation, let's say, of the word of wisdom can be different to you, because the Holy Spirit can speak to you differently than what He speaks to me. My manifestation of the working of miracles can be different to how it can be done for you. I might have to, let's say, for example, slap a person's hand, because that's how the Holy Spirit works through me. But through somebody else, it can just be a gentle blow. Everyone has to discover, you know, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit for themselves. The gifts of the Spirit is for the profit of the body. That's the body of Christ. So we have these gifts to draw people to God. Every gift that we have is to bring honor and glory to God. Not for ourselves, not for, let's say, encounter, but it's all for the glory of God. Therefore, it's for the profit of the body of Christ. It is for, meaning that it is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. We all know that. That is to build up, to strengthen, and to set in place of advantage. Why do some people in life, you look at them, now I'm talking about born-again believers, I'm not talking about people who are led by different spirits. Why do some born-again believers just always have favor? It always seems like they just have an edge above you. because they know who's inside of them and they know what they carry. Amen. God never placed the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the church to bring the church down. Yet you have a lot of people who go in the church claiming that this is them. You know, they the big hotshots, and they the one who can do this. They the only one who can prophesy. They the only one who can perform miracles. And it's all about them. No, it's not that. It's just to build up the church, not to pull them down. It is not there for you to break down somebody's character. It's not there for you to expose a person to the place of where they, you know, go into condemnation. That's not the reason. Yes, we can reveal certain things, but you have to be so led by the Spirit. You have to be so led by the Holy Spirit before you can just reveal certain things in people's lives. Amen? The gifts of the Holy Spirit is an absolute necessity for you to fulfill the God-given call and purpose on your life. Amen? Do you believe that? Are you guys, I haven't gotten into them yet, but have you started thinking about the gift that is on your life? We all have a gift from the Holy Spirit. I just want to see who is baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence. Sorry, let me say who's not. That's going to be easier. Who's not baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? Okay, so we're going to pray for you guys if that's what you want to do a little bit later. Definitely. Amen. And from tonight, once you baptize in the Holy Spirit, your relationship with the Holy Spirit and with the Father will begin. Get ready, be hungry, and God will meet you. Amen. Okay, so let's go, as we know the gifts, but let's go into the classification of the gifts. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 11. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit who works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So the Holy Spirit will give this to him as He wills. Some people will operate in these gifts. Like I said, you don't have to just have one. A lot of these gifts work together. And we're going to get into that. So, just a reminder that we don't have only nine. To quickly mention the other, I'm just going to mention eight because 10 we're going to get into deeply. But just to mention the other ones, we have helps. Like I said earlier, that is one of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives you is helps. Then we have administration. Then we have ministry, teaching, leadership, giving, exhortation, and mercy. Some people, you just watch them every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, service after service, let's say meeting after meeting. They just give. They just give. They just have the ability to give. They just have that hunger and that passion to give. Everyone that they see, they just want to give, but yet God blesses them. It's actually a gift of giving. Everybody should give. We've got, you know, requirements of that in the Bible for us as believers, but some people just have a gift of giving. Some people just have the gift of exhortation, where they can just walk up to somebody or they can just see a situation and they just have the ability to help that person. Some people will come and talk to you and they just talk to you, and by the end of that conversation you feel great. You feel but like, wow, how did they just do that? You were so down, you were so low, but after that conversation with that one person, it feels like you have so much encouragement, you have so much hope, you have so much inside of you to just run the race further. The gift of exhortation. But people take these gifts lightly. So let's get into the nine gifts that I mentioned in the scripture. So we have, as most of you know, we have three categories. The first category, I'm going to divide the nine into three categories. So the first category is the revelation gifts. for those of you who don't know, it's the revelation gifts. The purpose of these gifts is to bring revelation and insight from the realm of the Spirit. These gifts make you think like Christ. So these three gifts that I'm going to mention now, it makes you think like Christ. It's the revelation gifts. So the first one is the word of wisdom. As we know, the Greek word for wisdom is Sophia. This is the ability to apply knowledge in an intelligent way and manner. The word of wisdom is the ability to provide spiritual solutions to situations, circumstances, and challenges that is beyond the natural understanding and ability. So I was explaining these the spiritual gifts to the girls this week, and I was explaining something to them, and next moment Bethany goes, "But mommy, are you going to tell them about Ara that was in class? Are you going to tell them about what happened when she was two?" So she literally took it, what I was saying. So she thought this is actually what happened. And I'm like, no, Bethany, I'm just trying to explain to you how these works. So with wisdom, you just have the ability. You just know. You just know how to answer and how to deal with certain situations where somebody will come to you with advice. After the conversation, you're like, what did I just say? How did that just come out of my mouth? It's a gift of wisdom. Now, all of us can seek wisdom and all of us can operate in it, but this is a different level. It's just somebody that doesn't have to work for it because it's a gift that's given from the Holy Spirit. So the second one, as we know, this is the second revelation gift, is the word of knowledge. In the Greek, it's gnosis. How much you know about something. The word of knowledge deals with past and present situations, circumstances, and challenges. It can even backdate to somebody's birth. So this is where I was explaining to Bethany. I said to her, Nana, you can go to Arrow and you can say to her, Arrow, when you were 2 years old, you lost your favorite teddy bear. And that caused so much pain in your heart. And you just miss that teddy bear so much. But Jesus wants me to tell you that He's going to fill that void in your heart. And that void and sadness that you felt from losing your favorite teddy, Jesus can fill that void in your life. And that's where she thought it was real. And I just explained to her. But my point is, it's the word of knowledge where God reveals something to you. Many times, the key to the future lies in the past. And it can only be done by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you need to dig into the past and present events to figure out the puzzles and to put the puzzle pieces together for healing and breakthrough and deliverance to take place in somebody's life. A lot of times people don't want to confess certain things. They don't want to speak about certain things. They don't want to deal with certain things. And in other cases, people have blocked out those memories. They've blocked out those pains, those situations. But with the Holy Spirit, He can give you a word of knowledge into a person's life. You can trigger on something there. That one point is what holds them back their whole life. That has been causing them pain and just misery their whole life, causing them not to go into breakthrough. But you get a word of knowledge from the Holy Spirit. You deal with that situation and their life is forever turned around. Amen. And I know a lot of people who are spirit-filled and born again, you've had situations like this where you just phone a person and you just be like, I feel I need to pray for you for this situation. I feel it on my heart. I feel it in my spirit that you're struggling with this situation. And you phone them, and then afterwards they say to you, I cannot believe you just phoned me. I was just talking to God about this. Amen? But the word of knowledge requires a full surrender to the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Matthew 10, verse 19 to 20. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of the Father who speaks in you. So the part where it says, do not worry about how or what you speak. That what talks about knowledge. And that how talks about wisdom. We face certain situations because of persecution or mistakes that we make, that we have to be confronted with something where we have no idea what we're going to say, how we're going to, and even though God vindicates us, you still need to speak. You still need to have wisdom and knowledge to be able to get yourself out of a situation. But that's with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The true purpose of the word of knowledge is to build the faith and conviction of the person or people that you are ministering to. By you giving them a word of knowledge that they know, nobody would have known this. You are just showing them how real God is. You're giving them an evidence, but God is real, because this is impossible for anyone to have known. Amen? Okay, let's go into the third one. The discerning of spirits. This is the third one of the, which gifts? The revelation gifts, amen. So the discerning of spirits, this is the gift of perception. It is the ability by the Holy Spirit to know the source and the origin and the motive behind the manifestation of something. So in one word, it's discernment. You have the discernment to know when the Holy Spirit is moving. You have the ability to know whether something, where there's the presence of angels or whether there's the presence of demons. You have the ability to discern whether someone is a false prophet or whether they're preaching false doctrine. And most Christians should have discernment. But some people just have a gift. Some people claim to have the gift. They claim to be the big guru. But with people with real discernment will be able to discern that they're not real. Amen. In essence, discernment and discerning of spirits, in essence, it is having the ability to discern spiritual atmospheres. Amen. Let's get into category two. I'm going to try and go a little bit faster, but I like explaining things, because when you walk out here, I want you to understand once and for all fully the gifts of the Holy Spirit, so that you know what your gift is, so that you can walk out and operate in it. Amen. So the second category is the vocal gifts. The purpose of these gifts is to speak something. This has to do with communication and speech. So basically, these gifts make you speak like Christ. So the first one, as we know, is prophecy. And we know a whole bunch about prophecy in this church because we talk about it all the time. But in one, you don't have to put it up. I'm just going to read it quickly. In 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3, we says, "But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men." So the three categories of prophecy, as we know, is the spirit of prophecy, the gift of prophecy, and the office of a prophet. The one that's made mention here is the gift of prophecy. When you manifest the gift of prophecy, you should be doing three things. To edify people, that is to improve them morally or intellectually. The second one is to exhort them. That is to encourage them, motivate them, inspire them, and to give them hope. And the third one is to bring comfort. That's to alleviate someone's feelings and grief, and grief or distress. As we know, prophecy is the supernatural ability to reveal the future. To reveal future events and information. We know all of these things. I'm not going to go too much into prophecy because we know all of them. But prophecy is the authorization for spiritual things to find expression. Okay, now let's go into the fifth one, which is the second vocal gift. That is the different kinds of tongues. So the Bible broadly identifies three kinds of tongues. So the first one is for your personal edification and growth. That's where you pray in the Spirit, you talk in the Spirit, you sing in the Spirit. That's for yourself to grow and to grow you spiritually. I'm not going to get into too much of that. Then the second one is tongues that are assigned to an unbeliever. This is supernaturally by the Holy Spirit talking in natural or speaking in natural tongues that are not learned. This is to show them. For example, you will be speaking in other tongues, but what the audience hear is you preaching a powerful message that is led by the Holy Spirit in their language. So I'm talking in English, yet the people that are listening, they're hearing it in Spanish. I don't have a translator translating for me, somebody standing next to me. The Holy Spirit is actually translating that language. Guys, it's possible. I know it seems impossible, but it's possible. These things happen. Another example is where you're preaching in your own language, but the Holy Spirit steps in and interprets, causing the audience to hear the message in their language. Okay, that's what I said. Okay, but then you might also physically be preaching. So I talk English, and to myself, I'm talking English, but I'm actually speaking Spanish or Japanese. So there's a difference. So I said, I'm talking English, but the Holy Spirit translates it. But then I can start just talking Japanese, just have the ability to talk Japanese or Spanish or something. That is the different kinds of tongues. But that is the tongues that's a sign for the unbeliever. Amen. So then the third one is tongues as a ministry gift, which then brings us to the third vocal gift. That is the interpretation of tongues. It means to prophesy in an unknown tongue. So you speaking in the spirit, you're just talking in your heavenly language towards someone, whether it's to a whole church, to a congregation, or whether you're just talking to a person, an individual person. But then you get somebody who can then have listened to your tongues or is standing next to you, then they can actually say in that person's language what you have just spoken in tongues. So let's say Larina hears me talking in tongues to Michelle. She then says to Michelle, this is what the Spirit says to you, so that they know what was given. So that is the interpretation of tongues, as we know. So it's meaning you prophesy over them, and what was prayed was in an unknown tongue, like I explained. But you can only do, and this all needs to be done for strengthening the church, strengthening a person's lives. It's not for your own gain, for your own glory, but it's to strengthen it. And it must be in line with the Word of God. So the person who translates it needs to be aligned with the Word of God. You, as we know, you get a lot of false people, you get a lot of fake people, and that happens. But us who has discernment will be able to discern that. Amen? These things happen, guys. I don't have that gift, but somebody does. Maybe someone that's sitting here has that ability and has that gift. It just needs to be activated, and it just needs to be stirred up, and impartation needs to take place. So let's get into the third category, which is the power gifts. The purpose of this is to do something. So the purpose of the power gifts is to do something. And these gifts make you act and operate like Christ. Amen? Amen. So the first one of the power gifts is faith. The gift of faith is an unusual ability to believe God. We know all about faith. We teach about faith all the time. And everybody has been given a measure of faith. And we've taught you that your measure of faith increases as you have knowledge of the Word. But this gift of faith goes even beyond that level. That is where, in my opinion, that's where the people have the faith to have a leg grow or to have a tumor fall out. Or to have some raise the dead, for example. There's just a faith and an unusual faith that's greater than your measure of faith that was given to you. Amen? Amen. This is not having faith in God, but rather in the very state of God working in and through you. This is the God kind of faith working in and through you, the faith that created the heavens and the earth. You have a creative ability, a creative faith for creative miracles. Amen? Do we have some people who have faith, a creative faith? Oh, I want to see some people getting excited. Are you rising above your level of faith? Not just for your own life, but for the lives of the people out there. We need to change our mindset from focusing on ourselves, from focusing on our own struggles and our own difficulties, our own challenges. And we need to change our mindset into the focus of the kingdom. Many people will say to me, but Esli, you don't understand, this and this and this is going on in my life. And I can't feed my children. I can't drive to work. We've all been there. But what has gotten some people past that point? Some people stay in that point of where they struggle and they will never go past that struggle. But yet other people's just go past that struggle. It might take them 2 years, but they get through that struggle. They have a mindset of like, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. The enemy will not hold me down. He will not keep me down. No matter what I face on this earth, I have a heavenly mindset. I have a heavenly vision because I know I am not living for this world. And everything that he's stolen from me, everything that he's taken away from me, he has to pay me back 7 times. And God will always intervene for me. He will always fight my battles. He will always take me higher. It's just a different mindset. We've been at a place of where we've had nothing. We've been at a place where we were hungry. I've never been at a place of where I couldn't feed my children. But that was one thing in my whole life that I asked God for. I said to him, God, I'm not asking for anything. I'm not asking for houses or cars or this or that or anything like that. The only thing I'm asking is that you take care of my children. Because in my knowing of what it takes to be a child of ministers, I know the price that they have to pay. And I always say to them, please take care of my children. Not just physically, but spiritually as well. Amen? And he's answered that. So, but my point is we understand struggle, but we have a mindset that's kingdom focused. That is not focused on selfish gain. That is not focused on what about me, but I'm struggling. Change your mindset. Have a joy unspeakable that's full of glory. Have rejoicing in your life. Watch the way that you speak. Watch the way that you complain. Watch the way that you murmur. And I'll say this every week because it happens to us all so easily. But this kind of faith, the purpose for the manifestation of this gift is to command realities that would normally seem impossible. The gift of faith works closely with the gifts of healings and the working of miracles. The character of the gift of faith is an unusual, courageous, and audacious gift to have. You see some people, they will just walk up to the person and be like Pastor Stefan, he just has a faith that I've never seen but I've seen in very few people. He doesn't care what sickness you have. He doesn't care how sick you are. He'll walk up to you. You cannot walk past a person that is sick or that is suffering and not deal with that situation. He has this kind of faith with the gifts of healing. So the gift of faith is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in a specific moment in time to accomplish what would have been impossible. For example, like Peter stepping out of the boat, it would have been impossible. Then we have number 8, healings. Note that the Bible says the gifts of healings, gifts of healing. So this talks about healing, not just in your physical body, which is your body, but it talks about your psychological, your emotional, and your moral, which is your soul. So there's healings in your body, in your soul, and then also in your spiritual. A lot of people have gone through spiritual things that have caused them trauma, that have caused them pain, that has caused them hurt, where there's been misrepresentations of Christ. And they need a healing in their spirit as well. Amen? So this is the gifts of healing. The gift of healing is a manifestation of the Spirit that will cause the healing power of God to flow through a human vessel to bring a sudden healing in these three areas. A lot of people go through deliverance or they go through inner healing courses, but this gift talks about a sudden healing. And we know it's possible. Because God is the God of the impossible. Amen? Many times you will need the manifestation of the gift of discernment or the discerning of spirits before the gift of healing can manifest. Because your healing is sometimes locked up in your deliverance. Take these two scriptures down and you can go read it at home. Mark 6 verse 13 and Luke 9 verse 1 to 2. So then the last one, gift number 9, is the working of miracles. To bring, and this is to bring a supernatural result and occurrences that defines the law of nature. It is the ability to produce supernatural results above and beyond the laws of nature. When a healing is instant, it's called healing miracles. It also means to tap into the gift of faith. After being prayed for, you need to work your miracle. So it's the working of miracles. But this gift is not just confined to your physical body. When it's in manifestation, it will affect every part of your life. It's to give you an example, it's financially as well. It's for financially, where Jesus performed this when he said to them, go to the fish, get the coin out of the fish's mouth, and then he was able to pay the taxes. It's a financial miracle. It's a working. They had to actually go to the fish, catch the fish, get the coin, and then they could do it. They had to work the miracle. In the same way, it's the when the multiplication of the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes took place. It was a working of miracle. There's someone here today that needs a miracle. It might not be a financial miracle, but you need a supernatural intervention in your life or in the lives of your loved ones, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's mental, or whether it's even in your job in any area. And tonight is the night where breakthrough is coming. If you are open, if you are ready, God is going to do something mightily in this place. Amen? Amen. Then the last gift we're going to get into. So I want you guys to start preparing your spirits. We're going to go into the activation of these gifts. I'm going to just mention one more. So I've given you the 9 basic ones that we know. But then I want to just give you one more, which makes the total of 18. But this gift is the greatest gift of all. As you know, in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 13, I'm not going to read the whole scripture there, but it talks all about love. The greatest gift that anyone has been given, everybody should love unconditionally. Everybody should love because God is love. He's all about love. It's who He is. It's His nature. So your love and your compassion, you cannot do any of the spiritual gifts without love. If you do not have love and you do not have compassion towards people, you cannot operate in these gifts. And if you do not have love, I want to go as far as to say you don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't have God. And if you are then performing some of these gifts or you operating in things, you praying for people, but you do not have love for people or compassion for people, what is your source? Who is your source? If it's not done in love and compassion towards people, what is your source? If your motive for doing these gifts is not right, if it's not to edify and to exhort, and if it's not to bring glory and honor to God, I would watch you and I'd say to you to make sure what is your source. Because if it's not the Holy Spirit, then what is it? Who is it? Amen? In Matthew 14, verse 14, we see, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Jesus was moved with compassion. I know this is going to sound arrogant, but I don't care. I know that I probably have one of the biggest hearts in this place where I love people. Prophet will say to me, you get energy off of people. I need to be at home and I need to relax and I need to just, you know, be by myself. I can't do that. I have moments where I want to be alone. But the love that I have for people, I'm so sick and tired of seeing people defeated by the enemy or oppressed by the enemy. And therefore, I will make it my life's mission. Because God has given it to me, but I will make it my life's mission to get as many people activated in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But not just that, it is my life mission to see you step into the full call and purpose of God for your life. Because the enemy has lied too long to you guys. He tried and he lied to me for many years. But a little secret is last year I had a breakthrough. And where he tried, and he's tried ever since, to get me down, to get me low, but I have news for him. I've received breakthrough, and because I've received it, I'm able to give it to you. No longer will the enemy lie. He will try, but no longer will he have victory over your minds, will he have victory over your lives. Tonight is a night of impartation and activation. Impartation for defeating defeating Satan. I'm tired of seeing people oppressed. I'm tired of seeing people defeated and listening to his lies. For me, it's enough. In my life, it's enough. I can't tell you the suggestions that he would bring, even when I was standing there. But you know what I do? He's as small as a fly. I'm sure we've all in our lifetime tried to flick a fly. It's literally what I do with the enemy now. He still comes, and he's always going to come. The Bible says that Satan left Jesus for a more opportune time. So he left him, but he was coming back. And even though he tries, the moment you realize how small he is, to me he's as small as a fly that I can just flick away. The moment you realize is the moment you stepping into another realm. Or another level, because you'll have victory over him every time. Amen. The gift of love is what will enable you to operate effectively in this gift. Without love, you will be like a sounding brass and clamming cymbal. You will just talk, and people will get irritated with you. They'll be like, what is your point? What is your purpose? The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. This is reflecting the character of God. In essence, it's displaying the heart of the Father. Without love, you are unable to show the heart of the Father. Love is not just the most powerful gift, but it is also the most powerful weapon given to the body of Christ. Amen? The love of the Father has already made the enemy powerless. It's already rendered the enemy powerless. In John 3 verse 16 it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." He gave of himself. He loved us so much. We should be loving others too. I said it before. Love is unconditional. I want you to go read 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1 to 13 and read all about love. I just don't have time to do it now. Go read about love. See for yourself, but I'm failing in this area. I'm failing in this area. We all are going to fail. But the moment your mindset is shifted to kingdom mindset and not in yourself, it'll be easy for you to forgive others. It'll be easy for you not to be hurt or affected by somebody speaking against you, because you know that speaking against you, or they bringing troubles, or they bringing difficulties at work because they struggling with something. But the moment you shift your mindset to, it is not about me. It doesn't matter what they say about me. It doesn't matter what they do to me. I can show them the love of Christ. And through that, their soul can be saved. And they could be going into eternity with you. They can run the race with you. But it's determined by your outcome, by your reaction, or your response, not reaction. When you manifest the gift of love, you are manifesting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You are manifesting the gospel. I'll say it again. This is the greatest gift of all, is love. And everybody in their lifetime has loved somebody. Whether you understood it or not, a lot of people haven't experienced a deep love. And that's why the Holy Spirit is there. He's there to fill, I said it last week, to fill every void you may have. But tonight, I want you guys to, I'm going to mention them quickly for you. So we have the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, prophecy, interpretation of tongues, different kinds of tongues, faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. Then we have love. Then we have, I'm saying it again so you see to yourself what it is. Then we have helps, administration, leadership, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, and mercy. Some people just have mercy. I'm guarantee you that Prophet has a gift of mercy as well. He has so much mercy on people that it's not even funny. But those are just the 18 gifts that I quickly mentioned to you. And the Holy Spirit has something for you. More than one. Be hungry. Be desperate. And tonight is the night where you'll walk out of this place with a boldness, knowing, but I'm called as well. I don't have to be a pastor. I don't have to be a teacher. I don't have to be an evangelist or a prophet or an apostle. God has called me.